Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It's 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Senator Paul Schimpf joining us this morning. Senator, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Always enjoy having you on. And you've been pretty busy here lately.
I have. Got a lot of things to talk about. I was up in Springfield yesterday for JCAR, which that wasn't very exciting. But right after JCAR was over with, had a chance to talk with the Pritzker administration about what's going on in Region 4, which Randolph County is a part of. It's Madison, St. Clair, Monroe, Randolph, Bond, Clinton, and Washington counties are the four counties in Region 4, and we're still under these the COVID-19 mitigation measures, which is very, very frustrating to me, because I think those the basis for that is the metric that's called the positivity rate, which is the percentage of tests that come back positive out of all the tests that are administered. So this is not the percentage of our general population that has COVID. It's just it's a testing percentage, and this is not it's not an accurate and it's not a meaningful metric. So this is something that, as we get further into the interview, we need to kind of do a deep dive on that, because it really is problematic that is the basis for, having some of our businesses shut down.
All right, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll dive into the topic. We'll be back here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back, 9:34. You're listening to The People Speak. Again, our guest today, Senator Paul Schimpf, and talk a little bit, I guess, about the positivity rate here.
So we were discussing the positivity rate, and the positivity rate is the metric that the Pritzker administration is using as the basis for forcing some of our restaurants and bars to stop with the indoor dining. Actually have shut down reception halls. So, if you own a reception hall in the Metro East, you're just out of luck. But anyway, the basis for that is under the Pritzker administration's mitigation plan. Mitigation measures or sanctions will be put in place on a region if their positivity rate goes over 8%. And, as I was talking about earlier, the positivity rate is the percentage of COVID-19 tests that are administered that come back positive. So the number that's associated with the positivity rate is completely controlled really by the test pool. If you have a lot of sick people that are being tested, you're going to have a much higher percentage of their tests that come back positive. That's just common sense. If you have healthy people that are being tested, the rate is going to be much, much lower. But if your entire population is not being tested, then it really doesn't tell you anything about the presence of COVID-19 in the general population. And really what the epidemiologists, when they talk about the positivity rate, they use it as a metric to say, oh, do we need to do more testing in an area? That's really what they say the use for the positivity rate is. But Governor Pritzker, in his mitigation plan for the state of Illinois, which divided the state into 11 regions, said that if a region gets above 8% positivity rate, he's going to put mitigation measures in place. And that's what he's using as a basis to shut down our restaurants and bars. Now, I wrote an op-ed that ran in the Southern Illinois a couple weeks ago saying, look, we shouldn't be using positivity rate. We should be using hospitalization rate, because that's the thing that's really the most telling. We cannot stop the spread of COVID-19. that, you know, by the time this is all said and done, epidemiologists tell me that, you know, probably 80% of us are going to be exposed to it, not necessarily have it, but be exposed to it. All we can do is slow it down so that our hospitals do not get overwhelmed. And that's, you know, that's what we were trying to do at the very beginning. So the metric that really is meaningful and that we can absolutely have confidence in is the rate of admissions to our area hospitals. And really since July 4th, that rate has been flat. I think on July 4th, it was five people admitted per day to hospitals for COVID-19 symptoms. The last time I checked, it was up to six. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's basically, it's a flat rate.
Right.
But the positivity rate in our region, you know, has been going from 4%, and it went up, you know, higher than, it got above the 8%. You know, when the governor imposed the mitigation measures, and it went up as high as 10%. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about like 9.5% now. But the thing that is just very frustrating, and what everybody should be really frustrated about, is there are questions about the accuracy of the positivity rate, whether it is a truly meaningful metric, which we've talked about a little bit already, but there has been a lot of reporting about the fact that a lot of tests come back with a false positive. On August 29th, the New York Times, so this is not a conservative website, this is a ultra-progressive newspaper, wrote an article talking with epidemiologists about how genetic virus fragments can generate a false positive test result. So you have a lot of people that aren't COVID-19 positive that will still come back positive on the test. It's also problematic that I think we have, you know, we have a lot of state facilities in the region. You know, those individuals that have COVID-19 inside the state facilities are not going out into the general public. They should not be included, in my opinion. And then what I found out yesterday, which is to me the most frustrating at all, is up to this point, the state of Illinois has not been including data from the Barnes Jewish Children's Hospital Network when we're talking about COVID-19. Now, you know, Maya, I would say if I was making a guess, I would bet that probably about 20% of the Metro East population goes and gets their health care through the BJC system. My family does. My, you know, I took my dad on Friday over to Barnes Hospital in St. Louis for his regularly scheduled checkup. So, you know, we have been using a metric which doesn't have all the data. And I don't know, you know, once we acquire that data, I don't know what it's going to do to the hospitalization rates or the positivity rates. But, you know, the fact that we haven't been using that up to this point is just unconscionable. You know, so let me, you know, let that sink in. So we're using this metric to shut down businesses and destroy livelihoods, but knowing that that metric is incomplete. I mean, if that doesn't really just destroy your confidence in Illinois' government, nothing should. I mean, I've you know, when I found that out yesterday, I was beyond frustrated. I'm still upset today. You know, if you're going to destroy somebody's business and livelihood, you owe it to them to use a metric that is both meaningful and accurate. And the positivity rate has neither of those attributes. I mean, this is a huge leadership failure on the part of Governor Pritzker. You know, and I think it really shows the fact that we need a governor who understands what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. We need a governor who has the sleepless nights wondering about how he's going to pay for his children's education. You know, not an out-of-touch billionaire who never has to even think about those issues and will very cavalierly destroy businesses based on inaccurate data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to him, you know, I mean, shutting a business down for 2 weeks, that's nothing because he has the money to cover it. He doesn't, you know.
Well, it's just, it's a, you know, it's a completely different perspective, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm going to, do what I can to make sure that Governor Pritzker is only a one-term governor.
Just looking at the cases here in Randolph County now, I mentioned earlier, we have zero people in the hospital. And there's 91 active cases. It shows as of September 15th, 25 of those are at Menard. So
in the 25, assuming that those 25 are inmates, and I don't know whether those are inmates or whether those are staff. If they're staff, they're circulating.
It lists as inmates.
Okay. So inmates are people that are, the inmates are not part of the community spread calculations at all. They're not circulating. The other thing that is very frustrating is, what can your average business owner, what can your average person on the street do about the spread of COVID-19 in Menard? Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're going to impose sanctions on the region for positivity rates that are in large part determined by what is going on in a state facility, I mean, that's just that is completely outside the box of reasonableness. It flies in the face of common sense. And this is just really, I think you're going to see that, when we look back on this, we're going to really realize that it was just a complete mismanagement of the response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and throw our next break in here real quick, and we will come back and talk some more with Senator Paul Shemp here on The People Speak this morning. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. Got some time left in the program today talking with Senator Paul Shemp, and we've been talking COVID-19. Going to kind of change gears here now. We've got...
That's good that we change gears, and we need to get my blood pressure down. I was getting pretty worked up about that COVID-19 positivity rate, but... another thing that I wanted to touch on, though, is I think everybody, if they haven't gotten it yet, you will be getting it shortly in the mail, a kind of a bluish green piece of paper from the state of Illinois talking about this tax amendment that is going to be on the ballot. And one of the things that I just wanted to point out, when you look at that, what it's going to do is it'll show you what the ballot language is, and then it'll give you arguments in favor of it and arguments against it. But one of the things that I did want to point out is the ballot language, even the ballot language, we can't have a fair election because the ballot language, they put, a 5-sentence explanation of what this amendment does. And it really only needed a 2-sentence explanation, so they have this extra stuff added to it that is not false, but it's kind of facts meant to sway your opinion. And they of course omit the facts that would make you go against it. So it's kind of like, I've been on the ballot twice as a candidate. And when I go on the ballot, only my name goes on there. I can't add extra stuff on there, even if it's true. Mm-hmm. So I can't say middle class Marine Paul Shemp. It's always just Paul Shemp. That's all that's on the ballot. So, right. what should be on the ballot is just the fact that, the amendment would remove the portion of the Illinois Constitution that is sometimes referred to as the flat tax that requires all taxes on income to be at the same rate. That should really be all that is on the ballot question. They have all this extra stuff on there saying, well, we can, we can tax higher earners at a higher rate. They really should have put on there, if they were going to put extra stuff, they should have put on there that the 7 of the 10 highest taxed states in the country have a graduated tax system, like they would like to do. Mm-hmm. And that this amendment removes our constitutional protection to an equal proportionate tax. I mean, right now we're treated equally. All the taxes that we pay are proportional to the income that we make. What this is going to do is this is going to let politicians in Springfield single out, one small group at a time and raise taxes on one small group at a time. So it does make it easier for politicians in Illinois to raise our taxes, and I just don't know why. You know, given our track record of how, you know, how corrupt and dysfunctional our political class has been, you know, why we would make it easier on them to raise taxes. So that's something that, you know, that's in the mail. The last thing I kind of wanted to talk about was, I don't know if your listeners, you know, were following the news this weekend, but we had two sheriff's deputies in California were attacked really in like an assassination style attack. They were sitting in their patrol car. An individual walked up, came up from behind, and then shot them multiple times with a handgun, and then fled the scene. Both deputies survived, but you know they were taken to a hospital for treatment. And then, to me, this is the part of the story that is really, really appalling. A mob started protesting at the hospital, tried to break in to the hospital, and they were chanting, "We hope they die." You know, so this is, this, unfortunately, we've progressed to the point where Antifa and other radical elements really are targeting our law enforcement community. And if we're going to, you know, bring up law enforcement issues in fall veto session in November, I really think it is time to take a look again at my bill, you know, that I have on file, giving hate crimes protection to police, law enforcement, and our first responders. Because, you know, what a hate crime is, and some people like hate crimes, some don't, you know, but that's the system we have in Illinois. We have hate crimes laws. But what it does is it protects classes of individuals from criminal actions specifically targeting that class. You know, if somebody is a crime victim just because of a class that they are a member of, their race, their religion, hate crimes legislation heightens the penalties associated with those crimes. And this, you know, this incident in California really kind of, to me, shows where this is worthwhile, because that mob that tried to, you know, break into the hospital where these, you know, where these officers were receiving treatment, that to me should be held, they should be held accountable for something much greater than a simple trespass. Exactly. You know, a simple trespass is a slap on the wrist. But when you're protesting law enforcement, trying to break into this hospital and chanting, "We hope they die," you know, that kind of conduct needs to be addressed as a hate crime. So I am going to make a push to ask for a vote on my bill. It's Senate Bill 1486 is the number of it. We actually have a petition that that I started on online last night where people can add their names to it. But I think, you know, we've gotten to the point where, you know, we need to try to do what we can to protect those, you know, who are putting their lives on the line to protect us. So it really is, I think, time to include our law enforcement, first responders, and even our correctional officers, you know, as a protected class under the Illinois hate crimes law.
Yeah, because I agree with that. There's no reason for that at all. So, several issues out and about right now, and where's the Senate at now, as far as any-
well, we are not scheduled to go back in until after the fall elections, and you know that is something that's kind of our normal routine. The way our state ordinarily works is the General Assembly is usually in session every week, January through the end of May. And the idea is that we are supposed to finish all of our work by the end of May, send the bills to the governor. The governor makes a decision whether to sign them or veto them over the summer. Mm-hmm. And then we come back for what's called a fall veto session in November, where we take up the legislation that the governor has vetoed if we want to. Now, you know, this has not been your normal year, obviously.
No.
We were in session January, part of February, and then the pandemic hit, and we were not in session then until just 4 days at the end of May. And really all the General Assembly did was we, you know, passed our FY21 budget. But there are a lot of issues that we, you know, that desperately need attention from the Illinois General Assembly. So I've repeatedly called for a special session. Unfortunately, Governor Pritzker won't call one. Speaker Madigan and President Harmon haven't shown any interest in calling a special session. So really, to go back to my Marine Corps prosecutor terminology, my opinion, this is just absolutely dereliction of duty by the Illinois General Assembly.
All right. Well, Senator, thanks for being with us.
No, always enjoy talking with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll look forward to talking to you in October.
Sounds good.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you next time. Have a great day.